B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, final hour, your phones, everything we've hit on today. We start off with Bruins. And not just the play of the rookie goaltender, Jeremy Swayman, who projects as your next franchise goalie and looked the part last night in his first NHL game. But the future of Tuukka Rask, because there are reports among the NHL media that the Bruins are not just in on wingers and defensemen at the NHL trade deadline, which comes Monday, but are looking at goalies. And as the fourthperiod.com, again, I'm not even sure what that is, but we're going with it. Fourthperiod.com writes, there is some talk out of the Bruins organization that Tuukka Rask is playing in his final NHL season, and that could result in a move at some point. And so they're looking at a couple goalies at least at the trade deadline, and that sort of ties into the fact that it looks like you have two young kids who can play. And what is the future there with Boston in net and buying or selling? And I think they have been on the brink of being sellers here for the last couple of weeks, and every time they get, in my own mind, to be over that line and blow it up and all of this, they win, and they did it again last night. And so I'm not a seller yet. They've gotten me close to that point here a couple times, but they haven't quite gotten me over the line. So tie that into the goalie thing, and that's the Bruins topic. You know, the Patriots quarterback situation always on the board. And with the Celtics, I think there's a big jumping off point to what you saw last night, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers, who you have been clearly better than for years, change their coach and suddenly look like a whole different outfit and have vaulted ahead of you. And is there a lesson there? Do you take a cue from the Philadelphia 76ers and change your coach? Never mind a few roster moves. You know, Philly did make a few roster moves. They got rid of Al Horford and brought in a couple shooters, and next thing you know, you add that all together and they're one of the best teams in the East. So is there a path for the Celtics to do the same thing? And that's that. And then we're hitting on the Red Sox winning three straight, giving us a baseball season, at least week two. And that runner on second thing in extra innings, we just love. Love, love, love. How do you feel about that? All right, back to your phones here as promised. Tom and Quincy on the Sox. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, the first 3 days was rough. That's why I had that call Monday. But the past few games, what a far different outcome. And my whole thing, too, is I hope that Martinez isn't going to be the only guy that's going to hit, because right now he is on fire, and I'm not convinced he's going to be able to keep that up. But these other guys, like the Marwin Gonzalez and like all these, you know, like the bench utility career people, I feel like Kiki Hernandez has played well these first few games. I don't feel like guys like him are capable to put a full season together with actual production. But
well, let me stop you, Tom. So you're worried about the offense, are you, Mass?
No, I mean, not overall. No, I'm a little worried about the bottom of the lineup, but I think overall, look, their core, their line, the heart of their order, Devers, Bogarts, Martinez, if they're all, you know, if they all perform at a level that they're capable of, is good. The heart of their order is good. And so he said Martinez is the only one hitting. Bogarts had a four-hit game and a three-hit game in the series. He might have had more today. He was at three hits at one point. So he had eight hits in the series. You know, and I, you know, I feel like the middle of their lineup is good. The other guys are going to be inconsistent. Ken, that's who they are.
Ken and Cranston on the Celtics. Hi, Ken.
Hello?
Yes, Ken, you're on the air.
Oh, man, I just want to say you guys are awesome. And the only thing I wanted to say about the Celtics when you guys are just talking about it, I think Kevin Garnett needs to be the next head coach, and they need to get rid of Brad Stevens.
Okay, I agree with that second thing. I think they will move on from Stevens. I think, again, the writing's on the wall on that one.
Do you have inside info there?
Not at all. Nope. Just my really flawed instincts that are often wrong. But I don't ever, hardly ever have inside info. I'm not like you, Maz. I don't do the legwork.
No. So listen, it doesn't matter. There's something to be said for not doing the legwork. But that's the first time you've said it. I think they will move on.
Yeah, no, I think they will. No, I said it all last week. The writing's on the wall. He's gone. The players have tuned him out. And they're not going to choose the coach over the players. And I don't know of many cases where young players tune out a coach and then tune them back in somewhere else down the line. Does that happen?
So if it were to happen, what's the timeline on it, you think, Mike?
So I thought, and I still think, there'll be some sort of mutual, like, I sort of maybe tied it into to the North Carolina opening last week, where it's like, it's not a firing. They mutually agree and Brad Stevens moves on because, you know, they love the guy. I don't think they want to do him dirty and, like, flat out, you know, come to the Monday, you know, all of a sudden here's a press release. The Celtics have relieved Brad Stevens of his duties. I don't think it's going to go down like that. But I think there'll be some sort of mutual decision where Stevens gets to save some face and he's gone. I mean, they have to do something. And it usually starts with the coach over the players. In that league, you can't keep the coach, you know, over the players. You just don't do that.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the way you worded it was different.
No, I've heard nothing.
Okay.
I mean, no one's told me I'm wrong, but I don't talk to anyone either way. So what's the...
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should. And the Sixers, again, I mean, that they're the... You can look at last night and say, like, see a silver lining and see, like, okay. I mean, that looked like they were dead, done. They were going nowhere after the bubble last year. They changed the coach. They changed the DNA.
I mean, I
think that you could do that here. Who the next guy is, who the hell knows? But I just don't think that they will, Mike.
The big thing is Doc tapped into Embiid. That's the big thing.
And you need someone to tap into Tatum.
No question.
And I think I did say this last week. Stevens is not the guy to do that.
I know, but it's different when you say it the way you said it. Because then it sounds like it's your word.
That was just a fluke. That was just a... I mean, I don't know what I said or how I said it. I can't remember. I feel the same way I felt last week. That he is not long for this team. He's not going to make it. The writing's on the wall. He can't get the team to play. The team used to play with great structure. I know. I could tell their offense. I knew their sets. I could see the plays. And on defense, they were tenacious. That has all fallen apart. I can't tell you what their identity is. I can't tell you how they play. I don't see offensive sets. And I think it's all fallen apart. And in that league, like most leagues, when the coach loses it like that, it's hard to put it back in the bottle. And they're going to realize that sooner or later if they haven't already. Dean in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Dean.
Fourth year in a row, the 76ers have suckered you guys. Doc had the best record when he was with the Clippers, the best regular season record all those years, and they never once made it to the conference finals.
So what are you saying?
The Sixers are going to choke during the playoffs. They're not making
I'm not talking about that. Are they better than you?
Not in the playoffs. If we face them in the playoffs, we're going to win.
Okay, Dean, thanks for the call.
You're delusional. They have no answer for Embiid. None. Zero answer for Embiid.
They're not even close to them this
year. No, and the other thing I'll tell you, too, with the additions they've made, and those guys are role players, Danny Green and Seth Curry, they're role players, but they're better shooters than the Celtics have.
Dean, you're toast. They toyed with you last night. They toyed with you. They went on one run and then coasted the rest of the way, and it was not a competitive basketball game.
Right. The score doesn't tell the story. Oh, they beat them by 10. They felt like they beat them by 30.
They were up 21 at point. I mean, Dean, yeah, you didn't watch last night or you're... I mean, I think it has completely fallen apart for the Celtics.
And Philly was never threatened.
So, you know, I'm sorry about that.
No, he's dug in. I love Dean, but I think he, like, writes for a Celtics blog or something.
He does. But
here's what I worry about, that the Celtics don't realize it themselves. You know, it's one thing for a green team or Dean there in Shrewsbury not to realize it, not to see what's right there in front of his face. How does Wick feel? Does Wick feel that all it takes is this, you know, some maturity, these guys to grow old a little bit and figure it out and... You know, growth isn't linear and there's ups and downs and they're just in a little down, but big picture, they're still headed in the right direction. It's all going to work out. Is that how Wick feels? I have no idea how Wick feels. He might feel that way. He might. I hope he is willing to take a harder look at his team and what it's going to take, because that's what it needs. It needs a Sixers kind of shakeup. Stefan in Charlotte on the Patriots. Hi, Stefan.
Hey, guys. So I live down in Charlotte, and I'm just wondering when the whole Boston area became the Charlotte Retread Project. Cam Newton sucks and blows, everybody down here told me. Kemba, injured, sucks, blows. Teddy Bridgewater also is going to suck and blow. We do not want any more Charlotte retreads.
Okay, I mean, I see what you're saying, but Teddy Bridgewater sucking and blowing is a big upgrade over the current sucking and blowing.
Yeah.
That's the sad state of things.
He makes a good point, though. I didn't realize we'd taken that many rejects from Charlotte till he said it.
For some reason.
But at the end of the day, Teddy Bridgewater is an upgrade over Cam Newton.
Right. That's how sad your quarterback situation is. I've never said Teddy Bridgewater is a world beater. He's just better than what you got. And he may win you an extra game or two and maybe an extra playoff game or two, which I will take. I will take, and that should be the goal. And not that you have to overspend for it. The thing with Bridgewater, too, is you don't have to overspend for it. Not in real money or, I think, draft capital. So that's why we're in on Teddy Bridgewater. He's not the franchise guy.
No, his suck and blow is like a gentle breeze as opposed to Cam Newton's gale force winds.
He's going to get released. No one's going to trade for him. Not with that contract. And I say with that contract, right. He's going to get released.
Right.
You'll be able to get him for nothing.
Right. And Charlotte, Carolina will be on the hook for $10 million. Chris in the car on the extra innings rule. Go ahead, Chris.
The offset.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Sorry that you got Maz and Murray have to do a one-hour show tonight, I bet. But sorry about that. But
I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. But I do like it. I think they needed this shot. And thank you, baseball, for doing that. I think it's a great idea. It made it exciting. I stayed up, too. I have to work in the morning. And I stayed up and watched that. And like you said, I had three games on last night. I don't have all the...
Well, Chris, I'm going to stop you. It was great because it wasn't just one batter after the next swinging from his ass looking for a home run. It was actually baseball where you had to think about, you know, there was some strategy. Bunt him over, hit to the right side, swing away. Pitch to this guy, not pitch to that guy. It immediately brings some situational stuff back into the game as opposed to pitchers just throwing 100 miles an hour trying to strike someone out and the batter trying to hit a home run. That's why it's refreshing.
I mean, to me, that's it. Again, I want the variety in the game. I want different situations, different decisions, different skill sets. The problem with the game is it's become the same at bat over and over and over again. They just get into the box and swing from their ass. And so I'll be honest with you. One of the things I found entertaining about this team over the weekend, they didn't exactly hit a ton of home runs. They sprayed the ball around a little bit, hit some doubles, like, you know, and manufactured a couple of runs, had a guy score from third on an infield ground out.
But boy,
like, I'll take it.
So it brings, they're actually playing baseball with that thing with the runner on second. It just brings a little bit of urgency to the, you know, to the proceedings.
The runner on second base thing I love.
Okay. And if I'm baseball, don't stop there. Keep going. Keep tinkering. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're so resistant and afraid of change. You just changed something in extra innings, and it worked. So try something else. Back to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me ask you, do you have faith, do you trust Bill Belichick to get the quarterback thing right? Just specifically the quarterback thing.
No, I don't. I trust Bill Belichick to get a quarterback in town who will win 10 or 11 games. I trust Josh McDaniels to find a quarterback and pull the right levers and press the right buttons to extract some wins that he wouldn't otherwise have done because he just did it. But look, I don't know if he and Michael, I think you share this belief. He just did it for 20 years with a sixth round pick. When the sixth round pick got hurt, he put a seventh round pick in and won 11 games. He created a Super Bowl starter in Jimmy Garoppolo, really, who did most of his development here, who came out of FCS. He, you know, on and on and on, all the first round and number one pick quarterback belts that he has on his belt. He's not going to say, I have to go and get this, you know, decorated quarterback that everybody loves. He's going to try and do it in a different way. And that's okay because he is that good a coach.
So there's Tom Curran again last night on the Mike Holly Show. We come your way again tonight on NBC Sports Boston after their Celtics postgame coverage around 11 o'clock. But I just found it interesting there to ask Tom Curran, also known as facilitating after dark, right, Murray?
Yes.
So there was some facilitation right there. I thought I facilitated perfectly there.
that's you to a T.
Do you have trust?
Let me ask you, do you have faith, do you trust Bill Belichick to get the quarterback thing right, just specifically the quarterback thing?
Question.
No,
question.
No, I don't.
I don't.
I mean, that's one of the most established, you know, Patriots beat writers here in town. Point blank, do you trust Belichick to get the quarterback thing right?
No, I don't.
No, I don't. There's some high-level facilitation right there, Murray. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, anyway, that says something, doesn't it?
No, it's very telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Murray.
No. It's just, you know, at this point, too, with the offensive players that have been taken, you look at the last 3 years, it just feels like he's botched it. He has, especially someone like N'Keal Harry. And a quarterback, like, I don't blame him. I feel the same way.
I think Bill's history, and this part I didn't factor in, is why he continues to do it his way. And this is what Tom's point was, and it's a good one. Bill got Brady in the sixth round. Brady got hurt in 08. He put in a seventh rounder in there. He drafted Garoppolo at the end of the second. So why would Bill, of all people, go out and get a quarterback in the first round? What he has done has worked for him. So he doesn't look at Brady as a fluke. He looks at Brady as being just evidence that his system works, whether it's him or Castle or Garoppolo.
Like I said the other day, he looks at it and says, the most important player on the field is me.
I know. So, Murray, I'm alarmed by it, too, because I think that Bill, the idea that Bill thinks that he can just plug in the next guy that he gets in the fourth round, I think it's crazy. But Bill doesn't look at it that way. And so Tom's right to say, this is why I don't trust him. And look, you know, in Bill's defense on this topic, it's worked for him. Now, we deem Brady to be a stroke of good luck, but he doesn't.
Right.
And so, like, but I just think he's whistling past the graveyard. Like, you're going to try to pull that one again?
Agreed. All right, so there's basically a football topic there in a nutshell. Back to your phones here on everything from the day. Cam and Taunton on those shifts. Go ahead, Cam.
Mike, the best part of last night, I know you're not on Twitter, was watching the collective brick crapping of the baseball nanas. Like, how can you do this to our sacred game? And like, It's just so refreshing to see the game change. And look, the shift has to go. And what it hit me more than anything else was opening day a few years ago when the Red Sox, I think they were playing the Pirates, and they shifted on Sandy effing Leon. When you're shifting on Sandy Leon, you've gone too far.
Exactly.
When you shift on David Ortiz, I get it.
Yep.
I get it. Trust me, I get it. But Sandy Leon, you've gone too far. They're shifting on every left-handed batter now. It has to go.
Oh, they shift on righties now, too?
Yes, they do. Yep.
I mean, it's gotten ridiculous. Look, the changes, the two big ones, I mean, I think that one game wild card play-in was a big change for them. It's great. They did a really good job with that. It's a really nice, it's one of the greatest changes in any sport over the last 10 years or so. And it works. It's a great night. It's a great night of baseball. One of the best nights of baseball in the entire year is that one game play-in thing. And this runner on second really brought a lot of spice to what can be these endless, you know, extra inning games. Great change. Don't be afraid to do more.
Yeah, and you know why they both work? Because they both create urgency. Mm. Because that's what the game needs. It needs more urgency instead of, like, we've got all day, you know, don't rush it. No, I'm not joking.
It's true.
The whole thing's about urgency. The one game playoff is you got to win today. This thing is now you got a guy on second, you're in extra innings, you got to score. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's being pushed a little. They should have done crap like this a long time ago.
And how do you do it? It's not the home run. At that point, the home run is not the most efficient play. You got to get that runner in. You actually have to play baseball, which is another thing. It gets missed. You know, it's just so refreshing. It's like, oh, actually, just hitting the ball to the right side actually matters. And that may sound like a boring play or ground out, but you never see. You know, in the game, it's everyone's trying to hit a home run. Joe in Boston on the Celtics. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to speak on Sam Cassell. Sam Cassell should be the next Celtics head coach. He played for them when they won the championship. Also, I'm not. I would like to see Kevin Love too. Bring Kevin Love on board if they could.
Okay.
No thanks.
I'm good with the latter.
But Cassell?
Yes. Yeah. Someone brought up his name the other day, or I don't know if it was last week or the other day. That all runs together for me. I like Cassell. Another good one. Again, you know, he's one of Garnett's guys. There's a little bit of edge there, you know, competitive guy. And so I like it. I like it. I mean, you know, someone that's a little more modern.
Played in the league. Maybe the young guys can relate to him better than Brad Stevens. You know, like, it's whatever it takes as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think that link of having played in the league is important, particularly to the star players. Because how many times did we hear LeBron James say, well, you know, or hear rumors that he wanted to play for Doc Rivers? because Doc played in the league and he knows what these guys go through, so he can empathize.
The thing is, I think we've come to learn LeBron doesn't really need a coach at this stage.
No, no, but the point is,
it doesn't matter who it is. But this mix, Brown, Tatum, this group, oh, they desperately need someone. They need something or someone.
I just think LeBron reflects the thinking of how players look at coaches.
Yeah,
that's all. You know, none of them need the X's and O's. They don't need that. But it's, do they look at guys and say, that guy has my respect? And Doc has their respect. And so, look, I'd love to see Stevens get it. I don't think that they're going to fire him. I don't think that's their first move. I think they'd trade smart before they fire Stevens. But honestly, at this stage, they got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both. Again, just the Sixers model. They moved on from Al Horford. They brought in just a couple of pieces, changed the coach, and there you go. Voila. NBA contender, legit NBA contender. Sam on the Cape. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, yeah, I just think all these calls about the Shift needing to be banned is just ludicrous. The Shift's been around for 70 years.
Not really.
Ted Williams.
You're so wrong. And that was the only guy who got the Shift. Now everyone gets the Shift, Sam. Don't you see? You haven't seen the change?
Yeah, I've seen the change. I worked in the league. I'm just saying players can learn to hit the other way. They just choose not to.
I mean, they're being told not to.
Plenty of players will. I've worked with players who practice dropping bunts down the third base line to have shifts.
You almost never see it, Sam. Hold on. You're saying you see that on a regular basis?
Whenever it happens, it's worthy of a highlight, for crying out loud. So it doesn't happen with regularity. I saw Eric Hosmer do it last year. I can't remember another time where it happened. And you know what? Hosmer tried to do it again and broke his finger. What do you think his coaching staff will say?
Launch angle the next time, buddy. Go for the home run. Hit over it.
So again, this is where I get irritated now, because Shaughnessy wrote a similar thing a couple of weeks ago. Like this idea that, well, you know, you just hit it the other way. No. They've stopped doing that.
He told on himself at the beginning of that phone call when he said, well, the Shifts have been around for 60, 70 years. Yeah, that doesn't mean it needs to stay.
No, but also not like this.
No, it's multiplied by 10,000, for crying out loud. What was that stat we had like 5 years ago? In the span of two seasons, they went from 3,000 Shifts to 30,000. I'm willing to bet now the number is double that.
No, 60 years ago, Ted Williams was just about the only guy that got it. That's how it's, wasn't he the first guy?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
You know, and it was because one guy. Now every guy in the lineup gets some sort of special defense and infield alignment. It's ridiculous.
See, and what the caller misses is that it's altered the approach of the hitter. That's the point. It has altered the approach of the hitter. And the caller's answer is, well, then alter the approach back. Well, it doesn't work that way. Like, they're all being told, hit over it. If they're going to, there's no point in trying to pull a ball on the ground to the right side. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to try to launch it. And here we go. Three true outcomes, walks, strikeouts, home runs. It's ruined the game. The Shift is a huge one. You've got to get rid of it.
And by the way, caller, I hate to break it to you, baseball recognizes it. This is why Theo has the job that he has, and they've already started to tinker with this stuff at the minor league level. It's coming because they recognize it. So I hate to break it to you, but it looks like finally it'll take a while, but baseball is going to move in a certain direction, and it's desperately needed.
I'm telling you, I want the two guys on the dirt on each side of second base, and you know what? Teams will fudge with that, right? They're going to put them right up against second base.
Yep.
They'll start to do that. So you know what? I want lines on the field.
Love it. Oh, I'll take some lines.
Okay, just like you have a blue line or a red line in hockey, you have the coach's line and three-point line and free throw line in the NBA. You got all these places where you can go and where you can't. So you know what? Put the lines on the GD field. Put them on the field to keep these guys where they're supposed to be. You want to shift 10 or 15 feet either way? Fine. That has happened forever. We'll give you a little window in there to do it. The rest of the time, you're staying in your freaking trapezoid.
Love it. Love it.
You said that with far too much excitement, Mike.
No.
I'll take some lines.
No, I want baseball to, you know, anything you can do, throw some stuff against the wall. The sport desperately needs it. And if it doesn't work, you can switch back. Like, well, don't be afraid of that either.
I mean, these people that want to cite the Shift from 60 years ago, you're the problem. You're the problem. They you're the problem where the game sucks.
They don't want their precious game being tinkered with when that's what it needs. Tinkering.
But you know what? They're the only ones watching it now, you donkeys. No one's watching it but you. You're the problem because you're supporting a bad product.
Baseball Hour coming your way at 6 o'clock with Mass.
It just pisses me off. And the shifting sends me into orbit. People don't get it.
Meanwhile, how did Tiger Woods drive his car off the road? I think we know now. Details in Murray's update. Back with one more segment of your phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And for the second consecutive year, the Philadelphia 76ers go 3-0 against the Celtics to start the year. They will sweep the regular season series, and they do it in dominant fashion. The clock hits triple zeros. And we have no idea which way this Celtics season is going to turn and finish by the time we get to the end of it. But the one thing we know right now is that the Philadelphia 76ers are on a different level. The final score, Philadelphia 106, Boston 96.
Again, Grandy with the call there last night says no one knows where this is going. I know where it's going. That I can't say it enough. That play-in tournament, that is embarrassing. You've got to play in to be the 7 or 8 seed. You suck. Like, that is, at least if you're like out of that thing, you're a lottery team and you're tanking, you're, you know, the Houston Rockets intentionally suck. No, when you're in that play-in tournament, you're trying to be good. And you can't be, you have to play elimination games just to get to the 8 seed? Oy, that is, you are a chump.
Tell you what, that might be a case where you are better off losing.
Seriously, you don't go in the lottery, though, do you? Or do you?
No, I think you do.
You do, right?
Yeah, I think you do.
So you get a few ping pong balls out of it?
I mean, you get a real low percentage, but I'll take my chances on that. What do you think the chances are of winning the title from that spot?
Oh, that would give it about 0.0. You know what has to be particularly galling for these guys, as the Celtics, I mean, and maybe fans, too, and fans of Danny Ainge and everything? I mean, you pantsed the Philadelphia 76ers to get Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you pulled the wool over their eyes. That's one of Danny Ainge's Grand Slam home run trades. You know, the stupid Sixers, you know, give you an extra first-round pick to move up. They draft Markel Fultz. Is he even doing, is he in Orlando still?
Yeah, he's in Orlando, yeah.
Is he doing anything?
I think he was hurt at one point, but he's actually starting to play better.
Either way, you know, total whiff of a, you know, he's gone. So you totally dupe them and kill them on that trade. And now here you are 4 years later and they're better than you, a lot better than you. Like, that's got a, yeah, like that makes it particularly galling. And I'll give you one more. You totally emasculate the Brooklyn Nets and bury them in that Garnett Pierce trade and set you up for the next generation and bury them for the next generation. And they're going to win a championship before you. They are a championship team, and you're going in the other direction. That's going to be particularly galling to nail those moves, get it right, and then have it turn out the way it's turned out.
The Brooklyn one's worse. The Brooklyn one's worse. Because at least with Philly, you say, well, you didn't have any involvement in them getting Simmons and Embiid. Right? So if those guys were going to get good at some point, they were going to get good. Fine. Whatever. The Brooklyn thing, you absolutely annihilated them in that trade. They had no draft collateral at all. And now they basically just brought in free agents and, you know, and made a trade for Harden, which is effectively the same thing. So even without the draft capital, and they didn't win with the guys you traded them, and they just started all over completely, and now we're in front of you. That one's worse.
So, like, I mean, that's part of their reluctance. It's like, no, wait, we're not blowing it up. We've done everything right. We won the Philly trade. We won the Brooklyn trade. We're on the track. We got, and it's like, they just can't. It's like the Truman Show. They're stuck in this bubble of we've done everything right and we've killed these teams, and they don't see the reality that it's not working. And some of it's not their fault. You know, it's a confluence of bad luck, some bad decisions, and just sort of the nature of the NBA. You know, there's definitely things you can get on Ainge for. He's hoarded those first-round picks. He's made too many picks. He's overvalued his own players. Like, we can get into that. But, you know, the fact that Kyrie's an a-hole is not his fault. That's the NBA. And the fact that these guys just gravitate to the Nets of all teams, it's like, just because they're in Kyrie's hometown, or they like the fact that, is it Jay-Z owns part of the team, or there's something there, it's in New York, or there's some variable there that takes them to the woebegone Nets over you. That's not really your fault. That's just sort of the nature of the NBA. So it's But it's just that confluence of things. You do everything right at those early stages with those early trades, and you set yourself up, and still these other teams jump ahead of you. That's got to be particularly galling.
Oh, frustrating. I mean, right? It drives you bananas. That's what drives you crazy. Now, look, again, I wouldn't split up Tatum and Brown yet. I'm not there yet.
Me neither.
I think it's too early to do that. To me, if you're going to affect the core of your team, the first thing to do is to move Smart.
Doug, so to me, it's some combination of roster pieces outside of Brown and Tatum. Smart is chief among them. And the coach, that's my plan.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, but the coach has to go. Again, the Sixers proved you can turn it around quickly.
He's not
willing to admit a mistake or make corrections.
Exactly. Yeah, this coach is not going to reach these players. Rocco in East Somerville. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, babe.
How you doing, Mike? How you doing, baby?
All right, cool. I'm good. But listen, I want to talk about the Celtics. But first, Mike, I have to ask. Have you been keeping up with your workout routine?
I have.
The crunches and the push-ups?
I'm tight.
Awesome. Because, you know, you got to be those abdominal muscles, those chest packs got to be nice and hard when you get on the Rocco Pirate ship.
All right, Rocco.
You know?
Yes, what else you got for me today, babe?
Okay, listen, a couple of years ago, maybe like a year ago, I made the comparison of Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown to Allen Houston and Latrell Sprewell and the New York Knicks of the late 90s. I mean, that core didn't really do much. I know they went to the finals, but they didn't win anything. And if you want to throw Marcus Smart as Larry Johnson, go right ahead. I mean, like, long story short, you're not going to win anything with this core, with the Boston Celtics core. Something has to go. I mean, I know, like you guys said, they're still young, but it's just not going to go anywhere. All right, guys.
Okay, Rocco, thank you. See, I think the talent's there. I think the talent there between Brown and Tatum, you're onto something. I don't know if that's, you know, I think you still need more. You need something else, but that's a really good start. Those two are better than Latrell Sprewell. And who's the other guy you mentioned?
Did you say Garnett?
Allen Houston.
Allen Houston. So, like, I don't know if that's a great comparison. This is what makes it so galling, is that the talent's there, and they're underperforming their talent. And so how do you get them back on track to, you know, live up to their talent level? And that's, again, why I think the coach is in trouble. Because when a player starts underachieving and you can't change that, that's, you know, it's hard for a coach to get that back once he's lost it. And I think this guy has lost it. Carson in Medfield. Hi, Carson.
Hey, guys. So you guys did just mention Markelle Fultz a little earlier. And what happened with him was he went down halfway through the season. He's been out all year. But something really funny is now I'm pretty sure he's the Magic's best player. So I think that's pretty funny. But I did call to talk about the matchup between the Celtics and the 76ers. And the only chance that we would ever have against them in the playoffs is if one of them went down, which I think is kind of like a 50-50 shot at this point. If we go back throughout their years together, I think it's probably about 50% of their appearances, one of them's been injured in the playoffs.
Okay, so that's where you're at? You're banking on other teams to get hurt?
Yeah, good luck for injuries. That's a nice state of the team that you have.
Seriously, I mean, talk about a flip. I mean, it's night and day Philly over you right now. You swept them last year. You've owned them for years. And so, like, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what does. Pete in the car on the MLB shifts. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for taking a call. You make the ride home much more enjoyable. I appreciate it. Anyway, on to the shift. As I agree with you, I think it's tripled in the last couple of years as far as the teams that are doing this with whatever they're reading in the book, so to speak. But can we please have the networks maybe not give an aerial of the field every time a team goes into a shift? Can we please stop doing that? Because it's more annoying than anything else when, oh, yep, everybody's shifting. And then, you know what? A simple solution to this, lay down a bunt. Each time, lay down a bunt. And then you become unpredictable. And then teams won't shift. And I think that's how we'll move this back into a normal two on the left side, two on the right side.
Okay, Pete, thanks for the call. Maz, why are you bashing your head against the microphone?
Because again, we've tried that. While these shifts were going on, did they ever start bunting to make a change?
Nope.
People are acting like this happened overnight.
Every once in a blue moon, someone would lay down a bunt and you'd say, why don't more people do it? And then no one would ever do it again.
Mike, the problem has been, you know, growing over the last 10 years. It's not just something that happened overnight. We'll just start bunting. Well, how come they didn't start bunting 8 years ago? Like, because they don't want to bunt. This is the problem. This is the point. The analytics tell them not to bunt, so they're not going to bunt. So if they're not going to do it themselves, you have to litigate.
Let's sue baseball.
Seriously.
I'm with you. I'll sue their ass.
But this
I will
is
sue
my
their
point.
Ass into next week and unless they start making more changes.
You've got to change the rule. You've got to change the rule until they finally wake up to the reality of it. This is the problem.
Stu, let's do an email before we hit the final word, buddy.
Yeah.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, you're stubborn.
And I think Mez is a boo.
You don't know how to use a smack.
The Moncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
All right, folks, you want to protect your business against all sorts of nonsense, all sorts of fishery and phishing, and I don't have the copy in front of me. I don't know if you can tell, but you don't want to get hacked. You don't want your dumb employees doing dumb stuff that puts the business in jeopardy, okay? Like Zoe coming in here and watching videos of monkeys chucking squirrels across the room. I'm sure he puts that at a tremendous risk. I bet Mimecast is good enough just for like a Zoe filter. All he does is come in here and fire up videos of guys picking their nose and picking zits and monkeys playing with squirrels. This is what he does.
Yeah, no. In fact, they invented a product called Zogard.
Okay, but this is Mimecast. M-I-M-E, Mimecast. Look them up. You want to protect your business against all this nonsense. You want to protect your business against Zoe, if I must say so. All right, I got a bunch of, emails on people who are, getting on me about the Fire Stick Roku, I'll just give you one, Paul Lynch. Hey, Grandpa, stop your whining and get with 2021. Signed, Paul. That's just, that's just one sample. I will stand by it. You want to play around on the internet? Go ahead. Go ahead. You can still put the thing on TV and you can still watch it on the internet. You, sir, can still play around with your Fire Stick and shove it where the sun don't shine and play with all your downloads and your cords and your apps and all that stuff. And you get to play with your computer because I know that's all you really want to do. You get to play. I get to watch the game on TV. Why can't we do both?
To me, that's the point. I had someone email me, some woman who's from out of the state or out of the area. She says our only option is to get the streaming. I'm not saying you can't have the streaming. Have the streaming. Have a blast.
Bingo.
Just give me both. I want to be able to watch the game on TV when it's on.
Thank you. Television, not your phone or your iPad. Can we all just pick our heads up, like old school, just watch the television? I know that's not even great for you either. But compared to just the constantly on your screen, like, don't you want a break from your screen? Anyway.
So, I just think we have to get on that. We have to get on the horn, Jimmy, with engineering downstairs. We got to tell them we need a smart TV in the studio now.
Okay, so how about the thing where I can talk to the remote? I'm actually into that thing.
Yeah, you should be able to say, watch the Red Sox game. If you have a smart TV, it should be able to just find it, even if it's on YouTube.
Okay, so again, it's a Mimecast brings you that email. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, risks of ransomware, and Zoe. Visit Mimecast.com, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mez's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mez, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody more.
Nobody.
Nope.
All right. Well, if you missed the start of today's Felger and Mez, then you missed, talk of goaltending and sources. Hit it, Jimmy.
This is from, I can't remember what this is from. The Great North or something? I don't know. This is some NHL rumor site up in Canada, I guess, because they call it up north. What's it called?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Either. I can't tell you either.
It's a one-source show.
It's like hockeynorth.com or
we
something.
We have a very low bar when it comes to sourcing, so this is just good enough for me. It felt legit, so what the hell? Someone wrote it somewhere.
If it has 10 hits, we're in.
Right.
Kyle Palmieri, the winger there in Jersey, has been scratched from the Devils' last couple games. They write that Boston is all in from what we've been hearing. And again, forget who we are. Like, just assume they're legit.
The Bruins want a mid-six winger and a blue liner by the deadline. Could kill two birds with one stone if they can agree to deal with the Devils.
They said, don't be surprised if goalie Elvis Merzlikens, I have a hard time with that last name. He's a goalie in Columbus. Don't be surprised if the Columbus goalie is moved. Interest in
just call him Elvis.
In Elvis dates back to last offseason, and as there has been rising chatter in Columbus lately over potential departure. Elvis, who turns 27 in April, has 1 year left on his contract. He's like a $4 million cap. Teams like Chicago, Boston, and Buffalo.
They put Swayman in there and went, "Ooh, he's little."
He looks wee. Maybe that's what it is.
He's not. Well, that's why I looked it up last night. He was 6'2", and I went, "Wow, he's bigger than I thought." So maybe it is that he's sort of scrunched up in there, or they just he's following two guys that look because Ladar is huge. He is gigantic.
Yeah, him on skates, it's like 7 feet tall.
I mean, seriously, he's absolutely ginormous in there. So, but I just like watching him bounce around in there. Like, it is, he's fun to watch, man. It was fun.
Yay. So again, I'll tell you, we do suffice for hockey talk here in Boston. Like, we're hockey talk leaders, I would say. I wonder if, like, real Canadian hockey media ever listens to us and go, these guys have no idea what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah, no, completely clueless. Yeah.
They don't know anything.
No, completely clueless.
They don't know anything about our game.
Yeah. No, Ken, they wouldn't know the difference between a hockey puck and a ring ding.
What did you say what the site was? The Great North?
No, it's fourthperiod.com.
No, but what did you think it was, Mike?
The Great North.
I don't know. I forgot. The North. Up North. Upnorth.com.
Enzo still loves us.
Like, seriously. I hope they never listen in. It's like
Milbury, I'm sure, still loves us.
You guys have no idea what they're talking about.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.